what is the most important project in Bitcoin? It's not BIP110. It's not the new core client or a soft fork or some fascinating new payment mechanism like Arc. It's something that has actually been ignored for far, far too long. And it sits at a far more fundamental layer of Bitcoin security. So, what is it? Bitcoin mining is not actually mining anymore, and hasn't been for a really long time. In fact, there are barely a handful of real miners left on the network. What we have are millions of hashers. They are not the same thing. A real miner is one who decides what transactions go into their block. A real miner can come from anywhere in the world. They don't have to ask anybody's permission. They don't have to log into any specific thing. They can boot up with any energy source anywhere in the world with any internet connection, no KYC, nothing, and they can start producing blocks and they can be part of the network. That is the beauty of Bitcoin's security. So if a large miner decides to censor transactions that he thinks comes from, say, maybe the Iranian government, well, any other miner in the world can simply construct a block to include it, and there's nothing that large miner can do about it. It obsoletes the problem before there's even a problem. So what's the deal with Bitcoin today? Well, in our current environment, the people with the mining machines are hashers. They don't actually decide what goes into Bitcoin. They don't make their blocks. The pool does this. A mining pool is essentially a website. It's an entity. It's a company. Almost all of them are public-facing companies, actually, that a government could easily just call up on the phone and know who they are. This is a website where all of the hashers log into, and the pool gives them the work. It gives them the block that they're supposed to hash on, and then they return the work to the pool. The pool is the only one deciding what goes into Bitcoin. These are entirely public companies that could easily be targeted by the government to, say, make OFAC compliant blocks. And so you say, let's make a new pool, right? Well, the problem is that these have an unbelievable bootstrapping issue. If you don't have any hash power, there's no reason for anyone to join your pool. If 3,000 people go in and buy lottery tickets, you have a far bigger chance of winning the lottery, and then you split it up 3,000 different ways. That's what a pool does. If you are the only one that joins a pool, or you start a new lottery pool and only two people join, well, then they should just go get the tickets themselves. Let's talk about Bitcoin censorship resistance. If someone wanted to censor Bitcoin right now, it would only take about 5 of the major pools to get it done. The government could quietly go to them, tell them, just don't include this transaction, and it would probably work. In fact, they'd have enough hash power that even if a smaller, the minority of the network left over, added it into their block, the majority of those 5 pools could actually reorg and kick that block out. It's very possible that with just 1 or 2 handfuls of mining pools, you could censor the Bitcoin network. Now, a lot of people dismiss this and they say, well, all the hashers, everybody in the pools would realize this. They would see it and they would log out and they would just switch to a better pool that wasn't censoring. And sure, I actually think with enough time, they would do this. That is true. For the sake of Bitcoin, they would protect their investment. But that's not a robust defense of the system. That's a slow reactionary correction process that's actually dependent on social consensus and communication over what's even happening. So how do we visualize this? A hasher is a Bitcoiner who doesn't run a node. A miner is one who does. So 1 second here to explain what this means. So you can't build a block unless you know what can go into it. And you cannot know what's valid unless you have the entire blockchain history, the signatures, the balances, the UTXOs, in order to check the transactions coming in and know what you can or cannot include. And thus, without a full node, you can't safely build your own block templates. So let's think about this from the context of Bitcoin users and running a node, like a wallet. If 100,000 Bitcoin users on a wallet are all just using 5 wallet providers and trusting their node, nobody is running a node, those 5 wallet providers can simply choose for everybody else. And their wallets will automatically be using whatever that network is. And literally, unless the users leave, are aware of it, or they either go to a different provider, which is about as reliable as, you know, going to Truth Social because you're sick of Twitter, or they run their own node, it's not going to get fixed. That's what a hasher is not doing. A miner runs a full node, verifies what goes into the block, builds their own block templates, hashes it, and sends it to the pool. A hasher does none of that. A hasher blindly receives whatever a hash of whatever the pool is doing, and they create the proof of work and then send it back to the pool. They never see anything. They have no idea what goes in it. It could be anything. They could have sent a hash of the Gutenberg Bible, and they'd have no clue.
What does this have to do with anything?
Speaking of Bitcoin wallets, the first and most important thing every Bitcoiner should do is hold their own keys. You can get a BitBox hardware wallet. They are dope as hell. They're really easy to use. In fact, the entire process from getting your hardware to setting it up to wallet design and just using your Bitcoin is honestly fantastic. I have a discount code right down in the description, so check it out. It's also a wonderful way to support my show and my work, and I appreciate you guys a lot, and I really don't want you to be poor because you got rug pulled. So for both our sakes, get a BitBox and hold your keys. So what is the most important project in Bitcoin right now? One that if we solved this problem, we would actually obsolete the idea of Slipstream as a centralization concern, one that makes the spam and BIP110 discussion something that can actually only naturally play out, and one that would prevent what I think is the single largest attack vector in the Bitcoin ecosystem. Datum. And with a distant but now happy second, with Stratum V2. What do Datum and Stratum V2 actually do? It lets hashers be miners again, but stay in the pool. So I put it in the order of Datum first, then Stratum V2, simply because almost 1,000 blocks have been mined where the user, where the hasher themselves, is actually a miner, and they are the ones who created the block template inside the pool. So they are about 1,000 blocks deep. Stratum V2 has now, just the other day, awesome news. They have produced their own miner-created block template in the DMND pool. This is fantastic news. We now have a second implementation actively trying to solve this very important problem on the Bitcoin network. So I want to play out a few scenarios just to make it clear what we're looking at. Bitcoin's security relies on what happens with the largest portion of people working in the system who don't have to know what is happening or don't have to take any explicit action for it to keep working. That is the most important thing to remember, is which one will keep working if nobody does anything at all. So, let's take the worst scenario. Let's say all 5 or 7 of the top pools are actually one pool hidden behind 7 websites. And we actually have one operator, one public entity with 90% of the hash rate. And the government goes to them and they say, censor Bitcoin. What happens? Bitcoin censored. Until an enormous reactionary response occurs, until it's obvious that this is happening, until all of these miners, or excuse me, hashers in this pool, falsely made to look like 7 individual pools, decide to go in, log out, point their hash rate to another pool that's not in this subset, activate their hashers again, or they start running their own node and building their own block templates, and they call up their friends and they text the other miners that they know, or they DM them on Twitter and the post goes viral. And after days and days and days, maybe even weeks of sorting this out, the large 90% hash rate pool is finally down to 30%. But until that, the Bitcoin network is being censored indefinitely by default because the pool is the only one running a node. Now let's do Datum or Stratum V2. Now we have one pool with 90% of the hash rate, and they are accepting blocks from all of the individual users. Their only path to censor Bitcoin is to simply refuse blocks from any subset of their users that aren't censoring according to the way the pool wants to. But the pool's entire power is their hash rate. And the only thing that they can do to exert their power is to remove their hash rate because it's their users. If all of the users don't update, well, then the pool has no hash rate. If the miners themselves don't decide to censor, there's no pool anymore. In fact, if everybody's asleep and nobody does anything at all, the entire pool goes from 90% of the network to 0% of the network instantly because they're just refusing anybody who doesn't censor. And if nobody else censors, the pool doesn't have anything. That is genuine censorship resistance. A pool with 90% of the hash rate effectively did nothing, was able to do nothing to censor Bitcoin unless they had the active participation of every single miner in their network. So why does this solution get around most of the major disagreements over the spam discussion? Well, the number one claim for why we needed to remove policy limits on OpReturn was because of miner centralization or pool centralization. Remember, OpReturn was a policy. It wasn't a consensus rule, which means that if a block had a transaction with a really big OpReturn, you would still accept the block. But on the network itself, you wouldn't pass it around with most of the nodes. So Mara had a tool called Slipstream that allowed people to log into their website, pay their pool separately, out of band, not broadcast it to the Bitcoin network, but pay them directly because they were big enough that they could just mine a block and get around this policy decision. This is a significant centralization risk. If miners are making money off Bitcoin, off what goes into Bitcoin, that has nothing to do with participating in the direct Bitcoin network. But here's the thing. The only reason that worked is because Mara had thousands and thousands of other miners, hashers in their pool, and Mara was building the blocks. Slipstream doesn't work if all of those people are building their own block templates. Now, the reason it gets around the BIP110 issue is because it simply means that real Bitcoiners and real miners who are really running nodes, like actual Bitcoin miners and people producing blocks and securing the network, are the ones who will decide what the rules of the network are, as it should be. So the only way that it can play out is naturally by a whole bunch of people making their own individual decisions about which Bitcoin they run. And they will be the ones who decide what new blocks come in. Some people seem to really want to ignore that Ocean has actually been central to moving the needle in a major way on this issue. They are the guys who have released and implemented the Datum protocol. If you're unable to recognize how important and amazing this is for Bitcoin's security, because of some of their stances on the spam debate, I would say you're letting your opinion on a very minor issue overshadow real, tangible results on a critical issue for Bitcoin's future. I am totally stoked that Stratum V2 has finally entered the race. And shout out to DMND Pool for implementing this and getting the first miner template block coming in on Stratum V2. This is the most important issue in Bitcoin. And thanks to Datum and now Stratum V2, we are finally starting to undo more than a decade of moving in the wrong direction. We only just started. We have 99% of the hash rate still to go. So let's do it. Join Ocean. Check out DMND. They're the guys who published the first Stratum V2 block. Or download and implement Datum or Stratum V2 yourself. Start another pool. I don't care. Build your own blocks. Run your own node. We deserve the Bitcoin that we run, and that's exactly what we get, for better or worse. If you aren't even running one, what do you think that means we get? Don't forget to check out The Guy's Take on YouTube. That's my new channel. Subscribe. Check out the podcast feed, Bitcoin Audible, and let me know what you think. Tell me if I'm wrong or anything else that I missed. And I'll catch you on the next one. And that is my two sats.